In the words of Marvin Gaye, music, not sex, got me aroused. Well, we think the two go hand in hand. Thank you for listening to Weird Appalachia. I'm Erin.
And I'm Brooke.
And today we're talking music to make babies to. Let's get it on. But on a serious note, I mean, the two really do go hand in hand.
They do.
There's sexuality and music.
Music.
All the way through.
Music is so important in society. It always has been. Mm-hmm. In every culture has their own specific kind of music that just is so utterly important.
Yeah.
Even way back in the day. And they do. Sexuality, romance, music.
Yeah.
It's all intertwined.
Well, on the same note, you know, sex is, I mean, it's a big part of life in general. And
yeah.
Everyone perceives it differently.
Yeah, they do. Very strange topic because every person, for some reason or another, will perceive it differently.
Yeah. So
I think that's interesting, like as a musician, on a side note, that they can write, like, you know, a love song.
Yeah.
And one person will listen to it and it will make them feel one way. Another person will listen to it and can have a completely different aspect.
Oh, yeah.
That's very interesting to me. If I were a musician and a songwriter, I would think that was fascinating.
It's very similar to, like, whenever an artist paints a portrait or,
yeah.
or anything, in any art piece that you paint or
I guess that's true. I didn't think about that.
When I had Tom Whitaker's class, he always said that art is just as much about the viewer and what they see as it is what you meant to create.
It is.
And I feel like that really translates over to music as well.
Yeah.
Because just because I wrote this song about, you know, maybe it's meant to be really, really dirty.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone hears it and they don't perceive it that way, it means that
right.
to them. So it means that.
It means that, yeah. That's true. It's very interesting.
So it probably comes without saying this is a not safe for work episode.
Nope.
And my dad listens to this podcast, so sorry, Dad.
Well, any of my family members who listen to this, please don't.
Yeah,
don't
listen to this. Just stop now. You can still turn back.
Before we get any further, you know, into the details about stuff like that.
To the nitty-gritty.
Yeah. kind of, there's a history of, like, you know, sexuality in music.
Especially mainstream music.
Yes, mainstream music. That's what I mean. So, like, you know, back in the day, it's just so strange to think about this. But Elvis, you know, like Elvis, you'll see even on movies now. Like,
mm-hmm.
I specifically remember a scene in Forrest Gump, which I know everybody's
yeah.
seen that movie, where he's in the, you know, they used to have all the TVs in the window.
Yeah.
And he's on there shaking his hips and his legs. It's no big deal.
Who the hell
cares?
Tame.
That's nothing.
That's so tame now.
I mean, my little 5-year-old daughter does that. And I mean, that's just nothing.
It's scandalous back then.
But back then, it was like completely sexual and terrible. Like, I mean, mothers were putting their hands over their kids'
yeah.
eyes.
Well, even
freaking
Forrest
out.
Gump's mother was like, no, you're not watching
that. Yeah, and then he goes home and does it. But, I mean, that's just fascinating to me. And that's so interesting how things change.
There was even a time period to where Elvis was filmed from the waist up.
Yeah, they wouldn't even film him on TV. They wouldn't even film back in the day. They had to film husband and wife in two separate twin beds.
That's really true.
It's crazy.
It's really crazy to look at. You know, it's not been that long, honestly.
No, it wasn't that long ago.
Our society has become so sexualized.
So,
and this
so
is
sexualized.
Important stuff to talk about before we talk about, you know.
The music part of it, yeah.
Because I Love Lucy.
Yes.
Separate beds. And
you know at home, guys, that you all were sleeping in the same damn beds, getting it on every night.
I never understood that because, like, even as a kid, when I fully didn't really understand what any of that was, I thought it was weird.
Why are they sleeping in little twin beds?
That's so crazy that it was that scandalous.
Weirdo.
But, you know, every decade it got a little more.
It did.
A little more freer, and I guess obviously the sexual revolution is what changed everything. And people got a little more okay with stuff.
Well, starting in the 60s and stuff, it just kind of blew up. Everything blew up.
Free love.
It's crazy. Free love.
But, I mean, it was only a matter of time. I remember, and this is not in any way related to the topic, but what they're saying is, I watched a documentary one time about the club kids in the 90s.
Yes.
And they were talking
about Party Monster.
It is. I love it so much. But I think it was James St. James himself who said, society goes through, it like, from decade to decade, it's like an ebb and flow of being really conservative and really not.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
It seems like right now we're in a very not.
Yeah.
In a way. Well, as far as, like, entertainment.
We are not.
Be allowed.
Right now, the entertainment is so scandalous and just filthy. You can just go online.
It is.
And you can see any porn.
Oh, yeah.
Just it's whatever. Everywhere. Anything you want is on at your fingertips. And I remember being a child, like, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was not like that.
No, no.
It was not. It was kind of conservative. I mean, really, to me, compared to now, which I know everybody says this.
It's true, because it just progressively gets crazier and crazier. Because it just keeps
getting more insane. Like, the world just keeps getting crazy.
And it's like, and I'm not, you know, saying that that kind of stuff's, like, wrong or bad inherently, but it's really hard to find anything that you can comfortably sit down with your family.
That's, and that is kind of sad.
I mean,
anything that is so terrible.
it's like,
you know, it's
cheesy and kind of thrown together.
Stupid. Ratings and stuff, they've changed so much. Like,
oh, yeah, they have.
It's just crazy.
It's really crazy. And, like, back, you know, this is, we're making a point. We are making a point, I promise.
Yeah, we got off topic.
Just if someone from that time period, from like back in the I Love Lucy era,
mm-hmm.
traveled to right now and watched television,
they'd be shocked.
They would be absolutely in shock.
You can do that on TV. You know, they'd be shocked.
Turn the smut off. You know they would.
But it almost does, like, in a way, this is how I see it. There's a lot of times that sex in music, like, especially, and I do not want to pinpoint things like filthy rap music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to me, it's just like, really?
Yeah. It's not attractive.
It's not. This episode is music to make babies to. I wouldn't make a baby to that music.
No. No. That's like knees locked. Hell no.
Yeah. I'd be like, I have locks on my underwear. You can't get in.
Chastity belt. Throw away the key, damn it.
But I don't know. It's that kind of stuff to me is just, it's just not needed, I don't guess. But I guess there's something for everybody. Some people that.
There's somebody cranking that up right now.
I know. Some people like it. I'm not dogging you, but it's just not for me.
It's whatever works for you.
And that's just like in movies or anything. There, sometimes a little wiener showing, it might be needed. Might be pertinent.
It's pertinent to the story. That
the
penis
story.
Is very, very
it
important.
It was needed. Sometimes it's really not needed. And they just threw it in there because it was sexual. And that's just uncool.
It's fan service.
Yeah. It's just like 80s movies, movies. That's needed. It is.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's like if you shot a scene in a titty bar and there are no titties,
then
that makes
wrong?
No sense.
Crazy. Yeah. But anyway, that's my point. I mean, you know, sometimes it's needed, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But it's overdone.
It's overdone. It's because of the whole sex sales thing.
Yeah. And it does sell.
It does.
Because there's all these little
I feel like
dudes.
I feel like we've almost come to a point to where we're so saturated with sexual imagery that it doesn't sell like it used to.
It doesn't. I don't think it does.
Because we're so used to it.
Because you can get it anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Even if you're not really getting it.
Yeah. I mean, something that I find incredibly interesting about sex in mainstream music is, like, the evolution of early Madonna.
Yes.
Up through the 90s.
Yeah.
She was
very sexual.
Very scandalous. I mean, all the way through. And there were people who were very opinionated to this day.
About Madonna.
About Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
She either loved her or you hated her.
She was one or the other. You know, back in the day, it's like, well, not really anymore. But like when Lady Gaga came out.
Yeah.
It was kind of that same thing. People either loved her or they hated her. Even though Madonna was way bigger than Lady Gaga.
Yeah. But they got compared to each other all the time, too.
Yeah.
But
it was a similar situation.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you could see. She obviously pulled a lot of inspiration from Madonna.
Oh, for sure. Costumes and...
Because she does the same thing. They reinvented themselves how many times? Madonna many reinvented times. Herself so many times, but was always, almost always blatantly sexual with every transition.
Yeah.
Especially when she did that book. It was just called Sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't even know that. It was a long time ago, and there's, like, scandalous pictures of her in it, and it was around the time she did that song, Erotica.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, she had Like a Virgin.
You can't talk about sex and music. You can't
get any more sexual than that.
You can't talk about sex and music, not talk about Like a Virgin. Because that performance at the VMAs.
Oh, my God.
She was.
That was, like, groundbreaking.
She was rolling around on the ground and just, I mean, it looked like she was trying to simulate masturbation. You
That's
know
exactly
people were going
what, nuts. Didn't look like it. That's exactly what she was doing.
You know people were going nuts over it. And every album seemed like she was just trying to top herself.
Yeah.
Like, how far can I push this?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what makes her Madonna.
Yeah.
That's
She's
why
a pioneer.
She is.
She's definitely a pioneer, but it's also led us to this, what we're in now, to where it's like, where's the line, you know?
There is no line anymore. There isn't.
It's true.
I can't think of a line.
There's
ratings and stuff, like, yeah. when it comes to movies and certain types of music, but not really.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, because they're not just...
Now they can put NR, not rated on stuff, and
that's true.
And it just be all goes.
I saw something fairly recently. Well, I guess it was a couple of years ago. Do you remember when everyone at the Met Gala was, like, naked?
Yes.
Basically naked.
Yes.
They had pictures of them, all those ladies like Kim Kardashian, everyone who just wore, like, strategically placed lace to cover their lady bits. And then a picture of, like, all the ladies from the Porn Star Awards.
And it was probably...
The porn star ladies were way more clothed.
Oh, my God. Unreal.
We've come to this weird situation to where the sex and the image and everything kind of overpowers the music.
It does.
In the industry.
It does.
It's like the image is the important part. The music is...
The image.
Isn't.
Like what you are on social media.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
And a lot of today's pop music on popular radio is just cookie cutter, you know, here's what's going to sell. Let's just keep recreating it.
Yeah. And just like with anything, what they put on social media is who they are. Like Kim Kardashian. She's one of the main sexual identities here. You know, it's just like everything about her is just all her image. She has nothing else going for her.
It's all image. That's true.
That's what created her is the sexual image.
That's true. You know, I hadn't really thought about it. I thought about, well, I mean, I obviously knew that, you know, they got famous because of
She got famous that because tape. She had a sex tape.
Well, that's all it takes. I mean.
Really? If I can have that. No, I'm joking.
Oh, my gosh. But back on track with, you know, the actual music.
Yeah.
There are lots of, like, cliched sexy music.
Yeah.
Like Barry White.
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye, of course.
Let's get it on. That song. Who sings that, Marvin Gaye?
That's Marvin Gaye. But, you know, they're in every movie.
Every movie. Any crazy comedy or even, like, cheesy old romance movie. It's always in there.
And the song Sexual Healing.
Yes. That's not what I would want to make a baby to.
No, and it's because of that.
It's because it's so typecast.
Because it's played
crazy.
Out. It's like, oh my gosh, do you watch Will and Grace ever?
Yeah.
What's his name? Megan Mullally's man or whatever. Every time he's ready to have sex, he plays, tell me something good.
Oh my God.
How bad is that? You would have a song, one song that you play.
It'd be like. Like a bad form of torture.
Oh, my God. And all your neighbors would know it was up, for sure.
But, yeah, there's all these cliched, you know, sexual music. When you hear it, everybody thinks about sex.
Yeah.
Well, which like is wild.
The whole meme, the whole bow chicka bow bow.
Yeah.
Because that's what it
that's
is.
Sex time. Sex it's time. You hear that.
Did you know, and this is so random, but did you know that the lead singer of the Presidents of the United States for a very long time wrote porn music?
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I did not know that. And I've never even thought about somebody having that job.
I know, isn't that crazy?
What do you do for a living?
I
write porn music. I mean, that'd be kind of cool to say.
I mean, I would much rather write music for porn than, you know, be the talent. But let's talk about what we like, what we think in this day of everything so sexualized. Everything is just in your face, over the top, sex, sex everywhere. What do we like?
If I were going to make a baby, which I've made three, but I didn't have any music playing because I don't know when it happened. But anyway, if I had a choice and I was going to make a baby to some music, I'd pick Jeff Buckley, anything.
Anything?
Anything.
Anything the man sings.
He has the voice of a freaking angel.
Yeah. Well, see, to me, in a lot of times, music that I find to be, you know, that kind of attractive, it's usually the vocals.
It's
not so much what they're saying.
It's not the words. I mean, it can be.
Yeah.
If it's both, like him.
Yeah.
Because like what he says is not sexual.
Yeah.
But it is. You know what I mean? That's what I think is so attractive. Like, when you can listen to something and it's not blatantly sexual. Like, what he says in his music is not sexual at all. Yeah. But it is.
Like, lovingly.
Like, very romantically, yeah. Lovingly. Like, I adore everything about you, you know.
Yeah.
That way. Which is sexual.
It is.
In a way.
It really is.
It does go hand in hand.
But, you know, not a choice, not my choice for Get It On music, but I remember blatantly on the radio when we were in high school, Your Body Is a Wonderland was
John Mayer.
Yeah. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like John Mayer. I think he's got a very sexy voice.
He's got a great voice. I just don't like his music.
That Your Body Is a Wonderland is a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
For me to be sexy.
It just sounds like the lyrics, I don't know. It's too puffy and...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
When I hear it, I think of pink bubbles or something.
Yeah.
Not sex.
And then there's this part right in the middle of guitar that sounds like, what, Weather Channel music.
Oh, God.
It does. But he's got...
I don't like John Mayer. That's why I laughed. It's just... I don't like his music at all.
He's being very, like, blatantly sexual in this song. It's supposed to be, like, you know, lovey-dovey, like, lose your virginity music.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I would slit my wrist if I had to lose my virginity to that. Seriously.
Oh, my God. But, I mean, I'm always like, I'm sure I'm 40 shades of red right now. I don't know what it is. I'm not, like, embarrassed, per se, but anytime I start talking about this kind of stuff, I get flushed. But, no,
what about you? What music would you pick?
Okay, so, disclaimer first. You ever watch New Girl?
Yes.
Like the first season of New Girl when...
It's so good. I love that show.
Jess is getting really into this guy. He's doing something really strange. It's not even sexual. It's not even cute. But it's working for her.
Yeah.
And Nick's kind of looking at her like, that does it for you?
Yes, I remember that. But I don't know what it was.
I don't remember what it was, but that's kind of me.
Yeah.
It's not, like, anything that makes sense.
Well, I'm that way, too.
It's weird stuff. But, honestly, usually it's not so much, you know, like I said before, it's not so much that it's a sexual song. It's just, like, a sexual performance, or it's just a feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and, you know, it kind of depends on the mood you're going for, too.
It does.
I really think that one of the sexiest songs I've heard in a long time, and I don't even really know what it's about, but it just sounds really good, is that Redbone by Childish Gambino.
Oh, yeah.
Really anything that he sings rather than raps is really sexy.
Really, though, his music is sexy time music. I mean, it is.
Even if it's just, like, angry, like, it's just like I hate you sex,
yeah,
like some of his rap music.
Or, like, just raunchy. You know, fun sex or something. You know what I'm saying? But now if you're going for, you know, romantic, making love, Jeff Buckley, for sure.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
I wrote down a few. Girl, I got a list. Hang on. I think that here's one instance I have that's kind of, I can't even tell this on myself. People are not going to be able to look me in the eye.
You're making me cough from laughing.
You're not going to be able to look me in the eye for this episode,
Lord.
Either.
Hush.
No, but I can remember, do you remember the album Why Should the Fire Die? Nickel Creek.
Oh, yes. Such a good album.
It's really good. And not heterosexual.
I love Nickel Creek because they went on to be Punch Brothers, Chris Tilley.
Yeah. And I just, that's one of my all-time favorite albums, honestly, Why Should the Fire Die is. It's really, really
that
good.
That album is great.
There's one song in particular called Helena that, you know, and it's kind of not a sexual song at all. It's more of like a revenge, like you broke my heart kind of song.
Yeah, I know the song. It's a great song.
But there's moments, and you'll never not hear this. After
I'm gonna go listen to it as soon as I leave here today.
It takes these catch breaths in between. You know, that's something you do as a singer. And
I love that. I know what you're talking about.
He does it really prominently, and it's really hot.
That's killed me.
But yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't know. There's weird little things like that I always
me
pick
too.
Up on that I find more attractive.
I find little sayings that I'm just like, wow, I just like to ravage you right now.
But it, you know, it comes down to like sex, like really sexy vocals most of the time for me.
Well, you're a singer.
Yeah, I guess that kind of goes hand in hand.
Or if you love music, like really, like I love music.
Yeah.
Or you are a musician or a singer or songwriter, stuff like that would, you know, affect you.
Yeah. And I've seen like more, I don't remember names or anything, but that would be much more interesting. But like famous musicians who are like, you know, like talk about how they have like erections and stuff while they're playing.
Well, I mean, I get that. It's very sexual. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
It just like, just the thought of something like that is so engaging for them.
Yeah. You know? Because I'm sure they're writing about personal experience.
Yeah.
And all this different stuff.
And just the thought, I mean, I get it. You know, I get it. I could relate to that.
Yeah, because you can, if I'm singing this song that's like this, if I'm on stage right now, I'm singing to you, you're the audience.
Yeah.
And I'm singing you like this love song, but I'm just not feeling it. It's going to be stupid.
It's going to be awful.
It's going to be really stupid, but if I'm just pouring myself into it and I look like I'm just like ready to go while I'm singing this song, it's going to be a much better performance.
Yeah.
All the way
around.
Well,
if y'all want to see something sexy, go watch that open mic night video.
Oh, yeah.
And watch Aaron.
Oh, my God.
Because that was awesome.
Singing Old Time Religion. Literally, after
you sang
that,
it sexy.
Well, it's not like a Christian version of it. It's
no,
more
but
like
still.
a dark version of Old
you
Time
are,
Religion.
You did though.
But Chris told me after that performance, after we left, he said, "I just saw you like dressed
like Jessica Rabbit.
Rabbit."
Oh my God! Did he say that?
He said that. He's dressed like Jessica Rabbit and laying on a piano, going, "Oh, time."
I mean, I did too. You did so good.
Oh,
everybody was so silent, like watching you. I mean, you did so good.
And then there was a moment to where the song wasn't over, but I stopped to take a breath, and Justin Darnell, one of our previous guests, he just starts clapping, and he's like, "Oh, God, I'm sorry.
He really was embarrassed a little bit.
It was
over
really
that.
Funny. And he'll be like, really, you guys had to say that on the podcast? But yeah, definitely go check out the video. It's a lot of fun. We've got a lot of talent around here.
Yeah, we do. We got another one on the 27th.
I'm so excited for it.
I am too.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fun.
If you haven't already, make sure that you go and find the Art Bar, Sarisville, Kentucky, on Facebook and like it.
Yep.
And follow on Instagram.
Yep. And they're updated all the time.
There's always awesome stuff going on. And if you're in the area, come by and see Brooke.
Yeah. Be great. You know, another amazing genre of music in particular. That is, I think, is real sexual, is jazz, old jazz music.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, always, like, the seductive lady in a movie, you always hear, like, saxophone or something like that.
But I mean, like, turning on, like, Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, that whole album, or any of his album, Bitches Brew, any of them, that'd be just amazing.
Yeah. And it's not like aggressive music. It's perfect for that kind of thing.
It's personal and just so much feeling in every single note of the music. And there's no singing. So it's just the music.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like just setting in the mood.
Yeah.
No interruptions. Just
you feel it. You feel every bit of it. I think that's a good choice. I remember there's a scene. Have you seen Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
There's a scene in that when Tom Cruise comes over with Jerry Maguire. Comes over for the first time to Renee Zellweger's house.
Yeah, gosh, it's been so long, though.
And her babysitter is this, like, obviously gay guy.
Yeah.
Who loves jazz. And he's like, jazz, man, jazz. And he gives him the tape, like the old tape. We used to have the tapes, and he gives him the tape, and he's like, I know what you're going to go in there and do right now, but you have to promise me that you're going to put this in the tape recorder. There's nothing better than Coltrane. Or whatever, and he goes in, he puts it on, and they just crack up. They die laughing.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
But it is, they do get it on.
But, you know, something that I find way more attractive than, you know, the music itself is sometimes just watching a performer. And I think that Shaky Graves.
Yeah.
If you ever watched, like, there's this video, like, performance session he did on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he performs a song called Roll the Bones.
I know the song, and I love it.
It's such a good song.
But I've not seen
the
video.
But this particular performance is so good because, you know, he's just completely in his element. He's feeling this music. He's, like, sweating.
Yes.
And while he's playing guitar with the back of his foot, he's playing the drum.
Oh, my God.
And there's just so much going on. There's so much talent, and he's just in his element. He's feeling it, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's really hot.
I love watching those little videos, like, on YouTube, like the Tiny Desk and all those, like, very personal videos.
So
and they just come by themselves and just sing and play something, like one guitar or anything. It is so much better because they're so in their element.
Yeah.
And you can see it, and it's very attractive.
Yeah. That's the biggest test of talent.
When somebody is in their element and they're doing something and they're great, it's attractive.
It is.
It is.
It is in any walk of life.
In anything you do. Yeah. It don't matter what it is.
That's true.
Another band, which anybody who knows me, you know exactly what I'm going to say, don't you? You'd have to know this.
Oh, band. I'm sure I do, but you know.
Anybody who knows me knows that I love Radiohead.
Oh, Radiohead. Shit, what? I don't know what I was thinking.
I don't know what I'm thinking, not even mentioning them in this episode.
But
oh, man.
I got
some good sexy time music.
And they've got a song for everything, honestly.
Every feeling or emotion or anything you're going through, they got a song for you.
Yeah. That's true. And, you know, my first time I ever actually fully felt like I'd gotten into, like, a meditative state.
Oh, I can imagine.
Was a Radiohead playlist.
Yeah.
Mostly Radiohead playlist that I had. Because you can't fully experience some of that music without, you know, just being in a quiet room with, like, earbuds.
No. And I got to see them for the first time not too long ago.
I'm sure it was great.
In Lakes, in Cincinnati. Oh, my God. That was like an orgasmic experience. I was enthralled.
And, you know, people, I mean, like, conventionally, attractiveness, people wouldn't think or say anything much about Tom York being, like, you know.
He's very attractive to me.
But, like, he's
not attractive.
Like, conventionally not.
No.
But I think there's something very attractive about him.
He has a very bad lazy eye from getting punched when he was a kid.
Yeah.
He's obviously a dork.
Yeah, he's always been kind of gangly.
Just skinny and short.
But there's something really attractive about him.
There's something about him because he is a genius.
That mind.
The mind.
That mind is what makes him attractive.
A genius.
At any age.
Yeah.
For sure. I keep referring back to my little sexy list of sexy songs that I wrote down for this episode. One that comes into mind, totally opposite experience than Radiohead. Do you remember that guy, Hugo?
Yes.
He did that cover of 99 Problems.
Oh my God.
He had another song that it's such a sexy song. It's called Bread and Butter.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He's like, I'm going to spread you like butter, give you all my bread. But it's just, I don't know, there's something really sexy about it. And in my head, I can just see, like, a crazy sex scene on, like, True Blood going on.
Oh, yeah.
To that song.
That's
perfect.
That's a very sexy TV show.
But that guy, he just kind of fell off the map, too, I guess.
Yeah,
he had a few really good songs, and then poof, he's gone.
That usually happens a lot.
Yeah, and we get stuck with, like, some of the stuff that, like, we talked about earlier on the radio that just
never stops. Not on 95.5.
And I saw a quote a while back from Dave Grohl, and I love Dave Grohl.
Oh, my God.
Lord have mercy. I've had a big-time crush on Dave Grohl since way back.
You got something wrong if you don't love him.
He had said something about how, you know, music that's popular at the time has a lot to say about your society.
Yeah.
And he's saying that, you know, if your number one song all the time is about how big someone's butt is, there's something wrong there.
There's something wrong.
And, I mean, there's so much more to sexuality than just somebody's big ass.
It's important. It's special and important. And I know that sounds so corny. But even it's when true. Even when it's not making love, it's still yeah. special.
Yeah. It's not this, it shouldn't be, I mean, it just in my opinion, it shouldn't be viewed as this throwaway act.
That's what it is, though, to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's not like that to me. But I mean, or you.
Maybe we're just sentimental people, but.
Maybe we are.
I feel like there should be a little more thought put into it.
Yeah.
Even in music. Like, there was a song a while back that, you know, I'd always heard it. I always heard it, like, on the radio and stuff or whatever, because I love 90s music.
Yeah.
But there's a song called Laid by James. And in the first, like, line of the song, you kind of know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, in the first little verse of it, they say she only comes when she's on top.
Yeah. I know exactly.
So you know it's a sexual song. But I when I really sat down and, like, actually paid attention to the lyrics to that song, it is the most progressive, sex-positive, like, just positive
yeah.
song about, you know, just the sexual experience and being experimental, stuff like yeah. that. Because there's a part where they talk about messing around with gender roles and, like, the girl calling the guy pretty and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't find that really interesting.
From the 90s.
Yeah. Like, who would have thought? I thought it was really super interesting.
That is. That's very progressive for that day and age. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's progressive for now. I mean, that kind of stuff's happening now, but it's not in mainstream radio at all.
No. The closest thing we've got to that is, like, Against Me or Jane Grace.
Oh, yeah. Why have we not talked about this sooner?
I don't know.
That is one of the most important, I think, for today's society, important sexual messages is the transition of lead singer of Against Me.
Laura Jane Grace, she used to be Tom Gable.
Yep.
And struggled her whole life with being a female on the inside but a male on the outside.
Yeah.
And I believe every ounce of it because
yeah.
she is just the punk rock goddess.
Yes.
And through and through punk rock. I mean, not stupid Green Day fake-o. I mean, she has a message and she's sending it. After she came out as trans, she was married, had a kid with this woman, Heather Gable. She was, hurt because, I mean, you couldn't be. You love somebody and then you find that out and hard.
That's a very big adjustment.
But she was very supportive and still is of her. And they went their separate ways eventually, but, they're still good friends. And she came out with an album after that with Against Me. Transgender Dysphoria Blues.
Yeah. I was going to say True Trans Soul Rebel, but that's one of the singles.
The whole album, if you have not listened to this, go listen. The whole album from beginning to end is beautiful. She has a lyric in one of them. She says, I've got no cunt in my strut. Got no ass to shake.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. You know, I'm
talking
really
about how people are disgusted with her.
Yeah.
I don't have a cunt in my strut.
Like, it's like, because she's trans, and because she's not this vision of femininity, that's something I've noticed with a lot of people who transition. It's like you get treated different depending on how feminine you look.
Yeah.
But you hear the pain in it. And having that trans element added to punk rock music
makes it that much more. Because she before Against Me, and she talks about in older Against Me songs about, she says there's a line, and I remember hearing this way back in the day when I was younger, you know, with like a teenager, I was listening to Against Me. They have a song, and she says, if I were a girl, my mom would have named me Laura. That's a lyric in one of their old songs.
I didn't think about that.
And she says, if I were a girl, my mom would have named me Laura. And I never thought nothing of it back then.
No, never thought anything about that.
I just kept singing it, going along with it.
Well, their biggest hit, like, biggest mainstream hit, Thrash Unreal, is very from the female perspective.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, a female junkie who's aged to the point that, you know, she's having a hard time because she can't, you know, be attractive to the boys like she used to be. And it's like no mother ever dreams her daughter's going to grow up to be a junkie. It's the mother's perspective and the daughter's perspective.
Yeah.
And it's a very,
She has a daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, I don't know, that her whole persona and story is just wonderful. If you don't know about her, go check her out because she's very inspiring to me. Yeah.
You did a portrait.
Yes, I have it hanging on my wall.
And I'd kind of, you know, forgotten about the band in general. And you were like, oh my gosh,
Oh, yeah, I knew you'd love it.
I've been missing out. It's even better.
It's better.
It's even better than before.
And it was great before.
I always end up coming back and saying this, that if you got pain, your art's better.
Yeah.
If you've suffered, you write better music. And that comes
that's why with, I live. That kind of stuff live too. Your life. Live your life. And if you're going through something, go through it.
Yeah.
Accept it and go through it, you know?
Yeah.
And do something with it. And don't just sit on it.
Do it for you.
Yeah.
Do it for you always.
Do something with it. If you're an artist, do something with it.
And yeah, I think that's the perfect that's the perfect thing to end this episode on, is that journey.
Yeah.
And just accepting yourself.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're not going to kink shame you. If you want to turn up some D'Antwoord and have some crazy monkey sex, just do it. Just go for it.
Go for it.
Live your life, honey.
Live. Live it.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you aren't too hot under the collar now.
I am. I'm burning.
If you need to take a moment to cool down, follow Weird Appalachia on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We love it when you watch. Stay thirsty. Stay weird.